Over the past few weeks, I've been preaching on some concepts that are considered by many to be central to the Christian faith. We began by noting that God's creation is fundamentally good. In the book of Genesis, we are told that God saw everything that God had made, and behold, it was very good. Last week, we saw that God's love is tenacious. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. Nothing will cause God to stop loving us. No idea, no opinion, no belief, no action, no truth about ourselves, no reality in which we live, not even being sinners, will separate us from the love of God. And that has occasioned a number of interesting responses from the people out there. One of those wonderful sounding aphorisms that may sound good on the surface, but in reality is a cop-out, has been articulated to me repeatedly since I preached that message in posts on Facebook and Twitter and emails and text messages and phone calls to the church from people, none of whom were here, but who saw it online. God may love the sinner, but God hates the sin. Blech. One of the biggest problems with that line, of course, is that hating the sin usually results in hating the sinner. At least that's true for us. In fact, it begs the question, just because you think it's a sin, indeed, just because it might even be a sin for you, does that make it a sin for someone else or a sin for all? What is sin? Sin is one of those concepts, one of those ideas, one of those realities that we often just don't want to touch on. Often that's because far too many preachers from far too many pulpits spending far too much time pounding on sin. They'll take their Bible and they'll shake it at you. Oh, this is too thin of a Bible. They usually want a big, fat Bible like this one that's actually a King Jimmy, has good floppability. And they want to take it and they want to shake it at you and they want to say, "You're a sinner. You're a sinner." They spend too much time identifying that sin, calling sin out, calling sinners, just like you and me, out. But we do need to address the question of sin, both what it is and what it is not. So what is sin? Now, I love words, their derivations, their etymologies, how we get them and how we use them. And the word for sin in Greek, the language of the New Testament, is hamartia. Hamartia. You almost have to spray it to say it. That A has a little aspirin on it, which means you have to breathe it. Hamartia. It's an archery term and literally means not to hit or to miss the target, to fail to reach the objective. And hence the use of this bow from a bow and arrow set, which when I was a kid, I actually couldn't hit a thing until I got into the Boy Scouts, and then I could hit the target. I could hit it. But most of the time, especially when I was growing up, most of the time when I'd pull back and I'd fire, and I'd let it go, unfortunately, it would go to the left, it'd go to the right. Frequently, it fell in the ground between me and the target. I was terrible at it. I couldn't hit the mark. I couldn't hit the target. No matter how hard I tried, I failed. And usually, as I said, it fell in the ground between me and the target. I fell short of the target. And that is the essential meaning of the word hamartia, which is translated as sin. in the New Testament. We aren't capable of hitting the target. It's not that we go too far to the right or too far to the left, or that we overshoot the target, no. It's that our arrows never even make it to the target of God's will for us. The land and the ground between us and the target, they don't even make it there. And that's the original meaning of that word, hamartia. And it was used as a metaphor for sin, falling short of God's will. It was first used in the translation of the Hebrew Bible into Greek, in what we call the Septuagint, or the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, and therefore got drafted into the use of the New Testament. Sin isn't so much the things we do wrong or the things that we fail to do. It's more the missing of the mark or the falling short of God's will for us, falling short of who and what God calls us to be, of what kind of people, of the children that God calls us to be. Now, this is very far from the traditional understanding of the nature of sin. The Reverend Dr. Patrick Chang is an Episcopal priest and a professor of theology. And he writes in his book, From Sin to Amazing Grace, about how the church has long promoted a crime-based model for sin and grace, in which sin is understood as the violation of God's laws, while grace is understood as one's acquittal for such violations. And while there is a bit of truth in this traditional understanding or depiction, in reality, sin is not as simple as this. It's also a far greater problem for us than the crime-based model suggests. Far from being just a catalog of do-dos and don't-dos, fundamentally, sin is being separated from God's love, failing to hit the mark of loving God and loving one's neighbor as ourself. For that's the mark. That's the target. That's the objective that Jesus has given us to aim at. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Anything that causes someone to not love God, anything that causes someone to turn away from God, or to not love one's neighbor as oneself, is hamartia, is sin. This is true in many ways. That list of do-dos and don't-dos that you find in the Ten Commandments are all reflective of either ways we fail to love God or fail to love our neighbor as ourselves. I sometimes have people come to me and ask for help in dealing with sin, usually a specific sin that's been plaguing them and bothering them for years. One of the first things that I ask them is to identify the specific ways in which that sin may be causing them to not love God or not love their neighbors as themselves. If it's something that does any or all of these, denial of God, denial of neighbor, denial of the intrinsic worth and value of yourself in God's eyes, then it's a pretty good chance it's a sin, at least a sin for you, because it's separating you from God and from your neighbor. And if it's a sin, then it's something that God's grace can help us to overcome. Because grace isn't just an acquittal for sin. That's a misunderstanding. That's a mistake. That is not understanding the nature of grace. Grace is God's indwelling love and presence that enables us to overcome sin, to actually hit that mark of God's will for us, loving God and loving your neighbor. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, addresses the nature of sin. Not that we should sin more in order to have more grace. No. Instead, realizing that our sinful nature has died with Christ, to live with Christ, we are called to have love of God and love of neighbor, the same love that God expressed for us in Jesus by sacrificing himself into life in this world, in his ministry, in his teachings, his healings, his forgiving. Father, forgive them, he prayed, for they don't know what they're doing. And his dying and his rising on Easter. In all of these expressions, Jesus put to death the nature of sin that plagues us. The division between us and God has been healed in Jesus. That's the radical love of God expressed for us in the Creator of this universe, expressed for us in the life and ministry of Jesus, expressed for us in self-giving, radical love. Denial of that radical love is at the heart of sin. Denying that radical love is present in others is at the heart of sin. Denying that radical love for yourself is at the heart of sin. Missing the mark, falling short of God's love for each and every one of us. It's not the things, not the lists of the don't do's. It's simply being closed to God's love and God's will for us. My sisters and brothers, my siblings in Christ, we hear the call of love, the call to express God's love for others, the call to live the life of Christ as expressions of the love of Christ, as the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the lips of Jesus to a broken and hurting world, to a world that needs to hear the good news of the love of God. Not a pounding on sin, but a sharing of God's love for all. And in sharing it through words and deeds, through actions and expressions of grace, we are embodying the grace of Christ and living out the love of God. And instead of falling short of God's will for us, we're hitting that target right down the middle by God's grace and presence. My friends, be open to God's love, to God's will, to God's calling, to God's grace. Be open and listening for the voice of the Creator calling you to love and serve others and be an expression of God's love for all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say,
in your presence.